Okay, so this is the second part of Poel versus Ebed. And as we began last week, we're looking at the nature of the Ebed-Poel relationship as demonstrated in the Paul's ability to walk away, but we have three different schools of thought, and last week we spent all our time just on that first school, and we're not quite done with it. And that is the school that says, Poel, the relationship of employer-employee, and we will refine the term employee eventually, but the relationship between employer-employee is the same as an Ebed relationship. It's the same as slavery. And because it's the same as slavery, therefore, the employee is able to walk off the job midday, because just as an Ebed is able to buy himself out if he pays for the remaining years, refunds essentially to the employer, to the master, the remaining years on his agreement, so too the employee is able to say, well, I forfeit the money for the rest of my agreement and I simply leave. And we noted that there are difficulties in saying that a poel is like an Ebed. Number one, we said, there is no such thing as Ebed Ivri in an era when there's no Yovel. So what happens to all of our poelim who are able to leave midday, but they can't possibly be Avadim? Number two, the practical contractual arrangement is not the same as that of an Ebed. We had a discussion about whether there is a defining length of employment for an Ebed, 3 years, 6 years, whatever it is. We noted also that the poel does not have the same life in relation to his employer. He doesn't eat off of his table. We talked about what eating off of the table might exactly mean. We noted that the boss is not able to marry off a shivcha to the poel and get the children for himself. And then the third challenge was that the poel doesn't have the benefits that an eved gets. He doesn't have protection from avodas parech, from this literally crushing labor, and we gave different explanations for what exactly Avodas Perech is, as well as Avodas Aved. Granted that Rabbi Dr. Aaron Levine, it does seem to think it applies to a poel based on Marami Rutenberg. We saw based on the Kavach Homer from Eved of the Marami Rutenberg, but that doesn't really seem to be the position of Poskim. But in general, everybody does agree that Paul doesn't get the benefits of being an Eved. He doesn't have Ha'anaka, the gifts that come at the end of his service. He isn't paid for the time when he was sick the way that an Eved is. So that was our third challenge. I printed up a bunch of copies, but I don't know. Okay.
An Eved is paid?
I'm sorry? The Eved receives gifts at the end of his service.
He gets his Ha'anaka. He also said at the end that he's also not paid.
Sorry?
You also added on after that that an Eved is not paid.
No. I meant that he's not getting the gifts that he receives at the end of the service. No, he's paid in the beginning.
He should bring the sick pay.
Oh, the sick pay. I'm sorry. You know, the Eved receives the same payment, whatever that is, regardless of how much time of his labor he's actually out sick. Unless he's out for more than 3 years, and we have the discussion, is that more than half his term, or is that actually 3 years? But we said that the Eved receives a certain sum of money in the beginning, whether that's payment of his debt, or whether that's forgiving of what he had stolen, or whatever it is. That's the amount he receives. And you don't say, if he's out for 2 years out of his six, now we demand that you work for an additional 2 years. He receives the same sum of money, and his labor is not extended. The fourth of our four challenges to the idea that poel equals eved is that the legal structure of a boss-poel relationship is not the same as that of an eved, meaning the poel is not gufo kanui. He is not acquired. We saw Tosis and Kiddushin Daf Yitzayin Abed Aleph last week, who made that point to explain why a poel is not paid when he is out sick. Right? We said that an Eved is paid because gufo kanui, his body is acquired, and whether he's ill or healthy, his body is acquired, and that's that. Whereas the poel is paid to do a job. He is not acquired by the employer, and therefore he can't do the job. The employer didn't get anything from him, and therefore the employer doesn't have to pay him. So the Eved has this property of gufo kanui that he is acquired by the master, whereas the poel is not. Now, in truth, you can make the argument, and this is what we start on our Maran Bakomo's sheets, you can make the argument that even the Eved is not fully gufo kanoi. He's not really acquired. And it's not you making the argument, it's the Gemara making the argument. If you take a look at source Aleph, Gemara in Yevamos, talking about Korban Pesach, the Torah says, Toshav v'sachir lo yochal bo. Toshav and Sakhir do not eat from the Karban Pesach. So the question is, what exactly are Toshav and Sakhir? The Gemara asks it. Hi, Toshav and Sakhir, the Kasa Rahman of Pesach, Mainihu. What exactly is this Toshav and Sakhir? Inema Toshav and Sakhir, Mamash. If you think it means an actual Toshav and Sakhir, which I added in brackets, means Eved Ivri. If that's what you think it's referring to, Mishum Dahavali Toshav and Sakhir, Efter Lemi Pesach. You think that gets you out of eating the Karban Pesach? You saw yourself as an Eved and suddenly you lost the mitzvah of Karban Pesach? V'kaimalan gabe truma delo achil. I don't understand, the Gemara says. When it comes to truma, if the master is a Kohen, the Eved doesn't get to eat truma. Amalo kani le rabe. And that's the key phrase. The master doesn't really own him. If he were really part of the master's property, he would now be able to eat truma. Hachanami lo kani le rabe. And so too for Karban Pesach. So the Gemara says, the master does not own him. And if you look at the Rashba in Source Beis, Amalo Kani Leila Rabbe Kinyan Gomer, he doesn't have a full Kinyan. And the Rashba says, V'afa Gav Darmin and Parakama de Kiddushin Eved Ivri Gufo Kanoi, but didn't we say in Kiddushin that the Eved Ivri is in fact owned by the master? Yeah, Kinyan Gomer, Mielo Kani Le, but not a full Kinyan. How do you know it's not a full Kinyan? Dehayotzi Begeron Kesef, because he can buy himself out. Right? I own this pen. The pen is not able to buy itself out. Now, that's also because the pen doesn't own any money. Fine. But but there's no such thing. If to be owned means you don't have the liberty to decide when the relationship ends. He's taking that as a given. And Inami, alternatively, it ends b'sheish v'yovel. It ends after 6 years, or it ends after, when Yovel arrives. As opposed to the Eved Kenani, that's a case, he says, that is true Kenyan gumur of this gufo kanoi state. Ezra, you look very perplexed.
No, just based on the liberty to go free, the phrase they use, it sounds like whether the Adon has full control, as opposed to whether or not the Eved has any control. Meaning the Eved, in the cases of Geron Kesef and Jewish Yovel, doesn't really have any control either.
Geron Kesef, he does. That comes
where
out of his
money coming from?
He finds money. He finds money on the street. Buys himself out.
All right.
Yeah.
Does an Eved get out with Shane Bayan?
No, only Eved Kenani.
Yeah,
Eved Kenani does. Eved Ivri does not.
So it's nothing is 100%.
But that's an external circumstance that ends it. It's not the Eved's initiative.
Right.
He's not putting himself in the way of the fastball.
If he were completely gufoy kanoi, he wouldn't get out for anything. The master might be charged for assault.
I hear what you're saying, but the Rashba doesn't seem to consider that a diminution of the Kinyan Gomer. Yes, it can end. The period of Avdus can indeed end.
2 points. One, okay. One, even if you'll argue that even an Eved Ivri is in Gufoy Kono, it doesn't mean that the level of Kinyan that the unknown has in Eved is still the same as regular, let's say, Baal Vais having a poem. I mean, they could be not Gufoy Kono at different levels.
No, but if you want to say he's the same as Eved, then you want to say he's the same as Eved.
What I'm saying is that you have a challenge. We had a challenge, which was, but the Poel isn't Gufoy Kono. And then the response is, well, neither is Eved Ivri. And my response to that is, even the Rashba is saying that, that doesn't mean that they're the same. Meaning, an Eved Ivri isn't completely Gufoy Kono Kinyan Gomer, but you might still say Gufoy Kono to some degree. Whereas a Poel,
at what stage
aren't Gufoy Kono at all.
But at what stage of Gufoy Kono is it enough to say that therefore Geron Kesef will have a parallel regarding Poel, such that he can leave midday? At what point do you get enough of a Kinyan to do that? It's easy if I say it's binary. Either you are the same or you're not the same. Once you start making gradations, I don't know where you go.
I think we just have to define what we're asking, meaning.
Unless what you're trying to say is what I was saying when I introduced it, which is just to make the point that even the Eved is not fully Gufo Kanoi does not mean that the Eved and the Poel are different. Is that what you're trying to say?
Certainly the opposite. I think what I'm saying is that just because they're both not Gufoy Kanoi, meaning you.
Yes, you're agreeing with me.
Okay.
Yes. I think so. What we're both saying is Eved and Poel can be considered to have the same type of status, and neither of them are fully Gufoy Kanoi.
No. I'm saying that even though they're both not fully Gufoy Kanoi, one is more fully Gufoy Kanoi.
No, that's true.
Okay.
That's true.
And you're saying that you're balancing your question. The second thing is that I think that there are, meaning in terms of like the assumption, Paul isn't good, but kind of like, if you, in terms of the Rishonim who are addressing the issue of the sick pay question, some of them don't stress that idea, that they instead give other factors, but see that they do think that Apollo is going to play kind of something.
Yeah, no, and that's coming next.
Okay.
The idea, though, is on its face that, again, the legal structure is not the same because the Apollo is not Gufo Kanoi, and again, Eved may not be either, or at least in a full sense. But actually, according to the Shach, Rabbeinu Meir, who we've been quoting all along, thinks the Poel is Gufo Kanui, like in Eved. Take a look at Source Gimel. Mishum de gufo kanui lo kemo eved ivri. Yeah, let me explain it out so I could actually, I've read too many words without explaining them. They're talking about the question of what happens if a boss says to an employee, you're fired. Without a legal document, without, you know, any formality, he just says you're fired. Is that enough that now he's no longer in his employ? Practical ramification case that comes up in the literature is a case in which the boss, thank you Alice, the boss said to his employee, go away, and the employee said okay, and then the boss says, actually I want him back. And under the same original agreement. And the employee says, well, too late. That agreement already ended. So the question is it really done? Is the mechila effectively by the boss, just by saying verbally, I'm out, is that really sufficient to say you're done? So the Shach here says in Gimel, that from the Maharam, it seems that that saying to him, leich, saying to him, go away, does not constitute the end of the relationship. Why? Mishum de gufo kanoi lo kemo eved ivri. Because he is already acquired by, his body is acquired by the boss. So that makes it sound like it actually is gufo kanoi, like an eved. The Imre Baruch, I didn't bring it here, it's the end of Shin Lama Gimel, says no, he just means he's meshuvah. He used the words gufo kanoi, but that wasn't really what he meant. It just meant that there's a shibud. Also worth noting, of course, is the major difference between the way that the Hoel's period ends and the Eved's period ends, which is to say, you need a shtar shichur, right? You need a bill of emancipation to end the period of being an Eved. There's no such thing with regarding a Poel. You don't need that regarding a Poel. The Chasam Sofer notes that in Dalet. My point, again, is just to say the legal structure is not the same for Poel and Eved. It's hard, for all these reasons, it's hard to equate Poel and Eved. We are going to come back to this and see that there are certain other cases in which properties of Avdus apply to the Poel, but I want to move into Shita Beis, the second view. And the second view is just the opposite of the first view. It says the Poel is able to leave midday because he's not an Eved. By definition, not like a special right we are granting him, but by definition of being a Poel, you're able to leave midday, which is going to require that we actually define Poel in order to be able to arrive at that. But many Rishonim take this view. Tosus and Bava Metzia is the classic example. If you take a look at Source Hay, when the Gemara brings you the pasuk Kili b'nei Yisrael Abadim, right? We are supposed to be avadim to Hashem, not to other people. Nirali the mikomakom mutar adam lahaskir atzmo. He says, even though Hashem says, I don't want you to be a slave to other people, you are able to get a job. Right? And unlike that fellow who I quoted, his email I quoted in the beginning of last week's shiur. Didavka Eved Ivri Sheino Yochel Lachzor Bo, because it's only an Eved Ivri who can't back out. Ve'eno Yotzei Kodem Zano, he's not able to leave early, Elevishtar Shichor, unless he has a bill of emancipation. That is a case in which over Mishum Avadai Heim. If you're in that that kind of a relationship where you can't back out, that's where you're violating Avadayim. But a Poel is not. A Poel is able to leave. It's just, it's naturally to his status as a Poel. The Rav Nassan Gishtetner, who we'll see in a little bit, in the Haros Nassan, says that that's the Rambam's view as well, that it's inherent. This also seems to be the view of the Ritva. The Ritva says something which we're going to have to discuss in Source Vav, with the Beis Yosef quoting it from the Ritva. Kasev Ritva b'tshuva b'shem Rabosav. Shalo amru shepoel yochol lamzer bo ela behiskir atzmo ba'amira. The Ritva says the only time that you're able to back out is if your working arrangement is verbal. Aval kolshen is shtabed bekinyan. However, if you performed an act of kinyan to bind the worker to his job, letafuye milsa asa shalo yuchalav zerbo. That comes to add to the arrangement that he can't back out. So, if you do an act of kinyan, so let's say I hire you to rake my leaves, right? And I say, here, pick up my pen, and you pick up the pen. You have now agreed that you are not going to walk away. You're not going to back out. The very fact that the Ritva says you are able to do this suggests that your liberty to leave is a forgivable right. It's not something that is that is an external point. Like Chazal are saying, no, you have to be able to leave, where it's not up to you whether or not. This is inherent in being a poel, and you could also make it uninherent in your specific pi'ula. We will see that there will be other ways to explain this ritva below. This is not the end of the conversation about the ritva, so you do not need to worry about it right now. But that's a standard way of looking at the ritva. I mentioned last week that on a long drive I had binge listened to a bunch of shiurim from my friend Rabbi Feldman. So he contends that even if the ability to leave midday is just a right, you could make an argument that you're not able to forgive it, because if some worker forgives it, that's going to create pressure on all workers to forgive it. Right? It's like minimum wage legislation is the comparison he makes. If you say minimum wage is going to be $15 an hour, right? That's your magic number. Everybody's $15 an hour. And I decide I want to work for $13 an hour. I am now damaging all the other workers, because now all the other employers are gonna push all their workers to accept this $13 an hour condition. And therefore the law says I'm not allowed to be mochel. So too here. If you're gonna tell me that this is a right, that doesn't automatically mean I'm able to forgive it. It's just worth noting in terms of the impact of this. But let's talk more about this ritva.
But all the schools of thought,
yeah,
like all of them, do they all agree on the basic differences?
What do you mean?
Like one goes out on Yovel, one doesn't. One
yes.
Can marry a shivcha and everything.
Yes.
Right? And
I've yet to see anyone say you can marry a shivcha off to a poel and get
right,
the children.
So there are
himself.
Basic essential differences.
Yes.
And then Evet, it comes from Torah Shabbat Sov.
So does poel.
But I asked you last week.
And I answered you. I answered you. It took me a little while, but I did answer. I said not in terms of providing a definition. We're still going to get to that. But the Torah absolutely has models of poel. For example, when it says lo sa'ashok sachir, right? You're not allowed to cheat the employee of his wages. Biyomoti tein scharo. You have to pay him on time. We absolutely have laws involving poelim. And that tells you the Torah has a conception of poel. And again, I'm coming to where, you know, how we view it. But what you don't have is this kind of abstract definition. But you do have in Torah Shabbat Sav the presence of the poel as a functional relationship. Yeah.
Why don't we call the poel sachir?
Why don't we use the term sachir?
Then we would have save a lot of issues.
I don't know.
If the whole thing is based on that. Call it what it is.
Well, yeah, you saw the Gemara's default assumption was that Sakhir equals Eved. So that is, suggests that there is a level of confusion involved in the word Sakhir.
According to the ones, anyway.
I don't know. I mean, this is literally a semantic question. Let's go back to this Ritva. Is that really true? I get hired to do a job. Okay? I'm going to harvest Ellie's grain. Okay, Ellie's got grain somewhere, and he hired me to harvest it. And Ellie says, I know you guys. You guys walk away mid-job all the time, and I'm really frustrated. So here's what I want. I want you to pick up my pen, perform a kinyan, that demonstrates that you are agreeing you're not going to leave, and it is binding on you that you cannot leave midday. Does that actually work? Beis Yosef thinks it works, right? Beis Yosef, quoting the Ritva here, thinks that it works. The Shvus Yaakov thinks that it works. The Pisrei Choshen in Perek Yud Aleph, the first footnote, quotes the Zera Emet, who I must admit I would not know who he was if not for the fact that the Pisrei Choshen quotes him in a footnote. Nonetheless, he also says that you're allowed to. He says it's like any Tnai B'mamon, right? Meaning I make financial arrangements with people and I forgive rights that the Torah accords to me. I can become a laborer, right? And make an agreement with you to pay me after every 2 weeks or after every 30 days or whatever it is. And that's not, and no one says, wait a minute, Biyomoti Dein Scharo, you're allowed to make arrangements to forgive rights that you have. So he's good with it. But that raises a very interesting question. Rabbi Dr. Levine wants to know, if it's a forgivable right, if you can really forgive that right, then forgiving it must not make you an eved, right? Think through his logic, right? If it's a forgivable right, if a poel is allowed to say, I'm not going to leave, right? Then that must mean that forgiving it doesn't turn you into an eved, because we don't want you to be an eved, as we still have to discuss. But if so, if forgiving it doesn't make you an eved, then why have such a right at all? Why is it, if forgiving it doesn't make you an eved, right? In other words, if being unable to walk away doesn't make you an eved, then why have such a right in the first place? Now, I would argue it's still built in to poel identity within this shita. But he has this note in Zion, which I thought was interesting. He says, this clause, meaning the no retraction clause, does not violate they are my servants and not servants to other servants. Why then is it necessary to confer to pay a retraction right? And again, he's assuming it's conferred and not natural, which is what we're going to get to in the third shita. But he says, this difficulty leads to the proposition that the retraction right is rooted in a psychological need of the worker. Because he obligates himself to work at specific hours, the agreement naturally generates for the worker a feeling of losing his independence. Giving PA retraction right removes the psychological burden of loss of independence. In other words, it's okay if I say to Ellie, I'm not going to back out. It's bad if that is said on my behalf. I need the ability to give up this right on my own and not have it automatic that I can't back out. I thought that was a really interesting formulation and worth thinking about as we look at this Ritva. However, others say no, that he may still back out, even after making such a kenyan. In other words, yes, Ritva, your kenyan is very impressive. However, the worker is still able to walk away from the job. Even after he has said, I'm making a kenyan that I'm going to stay, he's able to be chozer anyway. And that is brought in the shach, in ches. I will come back to you. I know you're excited, but I want to get this point clear. The shach in source ches says, Lefiani is daiti nira. Shasha'ar kol ha-poskim shelo chilku bekach lo sviralu hachi. He says, all the other poskim who do not distinguish between whether you did it verbally or whether you did it with a kinyan, the reason is because they don't think that there is any difference between whether you did it verbally or with a kinyan. It doesn't matter. V'chein nira lefiani is daiti ikar. And he says, I think that that's actually correct. V'gam mitayim of the libanes of adim v'lo of adim l'abadim. He says that's the whole idea of you're not supposed to be an eved to others. It means that you're able to walk away. And he says I think that this is actually a kinyan devarim. It's not binding because it's only a verbal agreement of I'm going to do work for you. There's nothing tangible. There's nothing physical involved. The Chavos Yoyer actually says that even according to the Ritva, it's only for a short hire. I brought it in test, but I'm not going to read it inside.
Nothing.
Correct. Not where the paper is written on. Correct. If it's more than three, then he can back out despite having made the kinyan. One thing that I keep thinking about as I read this Ritva, and I haven't really resolved for myself, is that there seem to be two different ways to understand the case the Ritva is talking about. We go back to that Ritva again, as he's quoted in the Beis Yosef. Tell me something. Is this a case in which the employee said, I am making a kinyan that I'm not going to leave? Or is this a case in which they made their regular employment agreement and he picked up a pen to show seriousness about it? Which way would you take it?
I thought the latter.
Yeah. Everybody assumes it's the latter.
Not everybody assumes it's the latter. That's simply not true. The Shach doesn't think it's the latter.
No. The Shach just says that. He just quotes Ripa. He doesn't say that. He said explicitly that this is the intention of not being a Behozer. I think the Ripa, as Shosyakov says, every Kenyan.
Yeah, now the wording in the Shach that I brought here, I would tend to agree with you. I'd want to go back and see the larger quote, but in general they talk about it, certainly the Ketos talks about it in Shin Lama Gimel Gimel, as being Meshabed Gufo, like that there's actually a decision of. It isn't just an automatic thing. When you read the simple wording of the Ritva, it sounds like it's just a statement of a regular labor agreement augmented by a Kenyan which is not intended to accomplish anything.
I mean,
but that's not the way a lot of Achronim take it.
It's just very clear. Right? Does it say anything about specific?
Right. No. And the wording in the Beis Yosef sounds like that. But you did see the Acharonim who sound like it's an issue of forgiving a right.
But I don't know that it's. Even if they frame it that way, they're not necessarily saying that it was explicitly created in that way.
No, but they talk about, are you able to forgive? You think they're only saying, is that a result as opposed to some of you intended? I don't think so. Right, later on, I can go back into it and show you specifically, but a lot of Achronim seem to frame this as something that you would be doing intending to forgive a right, as opposed to a byproduct of the fact that you made this agreement with a kid.
So being able to leave midday, so traditionally, in secular law, an employee wouldn't have to give notice. In other words, he could leave midday.
Mm-hmm.
You do have, they also usually have written contracts of employment.
Yeah.
Usually they will now specifically stipulate that the employee still has to give like some
give them notice or whatever it is. Late. Right, because today's written agreements are intended to ensure the rights of the person writing the agreement.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is longer term because, you know, you hire someone as whatever secretary, you expect them to be there for a while. A guy raking leaves, he's not really an employee, he's not really an Evid. He's more like a Kavlan, right? He's got to do this job.
We're going to talk Kevin and Kavlan. I'm still hoping to get to that today, although, you know, time is flying. But we're going to have to refine the difference in Evid and Kavlan. It will not be based on whether he's working for me for a day or longer term. That seems not to be a function of the way we look at it. The Chavos Yair is regarding the Ritva's point, not in terms of Jeffrey's point, but yes.
Yeah, here it says right there. It's my concern.
Yeah. No, but that's a separate point. That's in the non-three-year. That's not the one-day issue. So here I come to Jeffrey's question from his email, which is, in the event that you're telling me he's not an Eved, right? We're taking the second Shita. Poel and Eved are not... First, did you have something else on the...
Well, just one point. If you look at the Ritva, because he explicitly says the reason that you can renege on this, right, is because you can be Mas, not the first of a monk, connect on Torah.
Yeah.
He's very explicit. So to me, the Ritva is not saying that it's a fundamental, you know, right, that it's not a question of he is not conduit to the... Oh no, it's exerce the custom that the Torah gives you, and you have the right to say no, but I'm going to renege on the exerce the custom.
But it's not exerce the custom according to this.
Why?
According to the Shita, it's simply this is the definition of a poel. He's not an Eved.
So I'm arguing that. I'm saying the Ritva doesn't think that. The Ritva thinks that really there is a gufoi kanoi, and the Torah still gave you the right to be a chozer. That's kelim bnei Yisrael.
So you're saying Ritva doesn't hold from Shita base.
Yeah.
Okay. That doesn't bother me.
He also says that in Kiddushim.
And he says it.
Yeah.
I think the fact that Tosfos is bothered by the question of why you're allowed to hire as a worker.
Yeah.
Indicates he's very impressed by the Gemara's formulation that there is some sort of connection between Eved and Poel. And he says, although there are similar, at least you can. You know, you don't need a star shift runner if we're not in violation of this prohibition.
Right.
But I'm not sure that he thinks that they're not alike at all. I think he's pointing out that there is this difference and that you have the right to be closer. So I'm wondering whether he fits into this cheat debate also. I mean,
why not?
Because
the fact that you think that this difference is satisfactory in terms of Libnei Sol Avadim does not mean that it's a function of Libnei Sol Avadim. It just means that if you take a poel arrangement which includes being free, then you're not in violation of Libnei Sol Avadim. That doesn't mean that it's a product of Libnei Sol Avadim. I agree with you regarding the Ritva because he calls it Masa Mashkaz B'Torah, but I don't think you have to say the same thing regarding Tosfos.
Right, I'm just wondering why Tosfos bother at all about the question. Meaning he's like, oh, well, you can still hire yourself out as a worker. Of course you can. Why wouldn't you?
Because fundamentally, and this is again where we're going now, is the question of what exactly is Poel? What is the definition of the relationship?
Right.
So let's see. So halakha has a few different ways to look at the relationship of employer-employee. I didn't bring, just because there was too much to bring already, but I should have probably, which talks about the maximum load that you can give a porter to carry. You hire somebody to carry your stuff. There's a maximum in terms of what you're able to give him, and if you give him too much, it calls you a mazik. You are considered to be like any vandal. And the way that this seems to be framed is that the relationship between employer-employee is a form of shutfus. It's a form of partnership. We have a partnership going. The partnership is, I'm going to pay you, and you are going to pay me. I am paying you money, and you are paying me work. And in the event that I give you too much stuff to carry, then I'm like any other person who has done any other harm physically to anybody else. It's a form of hezek. It's a form of damage.
Isn't that before us?
No, because he has the choice of whether to take it on or not. They're viewed as equal partners in that Gemara, with an added element, which is that there's also if you're doing it on the property of the boss, then the boss also becomes a shomer, according to the Rashba in that Gemara. But but fundamentally, the relationship tends to be viewed as a much more equal type of a relationship. Although, if you read Tirano Torah last week or the week before, you saw I translated the Tzemach Tzedek there, who talks about the idea that an employer who employs somebody is actually performing an act of chesed for him. Like the Rambam says on Yiyu Aniyim B'nei Beisecha, that you should hire indigent people to work in your home. Hiring somebody is actually viewed as a chesed. That's also seen in the Rambam's levels of tzedakah. It's seen in the Torah's mitzvah of tzedakah as well. Bechzaktabo and so forth. But the halacha has a few different ways that you can look at this relationship between Poel and an employer, which are not eved. They're non-eved relationships. The duty to pay the person who works for you is then a function of that relationship. Meaning, if the relationship is simply, we are like partners in an agreement, so we're partners like any other partnership. You obligate yourself to do this in the partnership. I obligate myself to do that in the partnership, and that's the way that it works. The way to frame it is simply: it's another business agreement.
It's like a silent partner. One guy puts up the money, the other guy works.
Yes, it's a managing partner and it's an investing partner, and each one is going to provide something. Not to go too far with that, because that'll take us into the Ribbis question with the what if you don't pay your managing partner? The managing partner must draw a salary. But Rav Schechter adds an element to this and suggests that beyond the basic partnership, there's also an obligation to pay those who work for us. And I moved this in the notes only after I created the file that you see. So if you're using the printed source sheets, look at source Chav Beis. Rav Schechter suggests that the obligation to pay a poel is not simply his chayvus midas, as he calls it, an obligation that the employer takes upon himself that I'm going to pay X amount to the employee, but rather it's his chayvus haTorah. There is a spiritual obligation to pay those who do things on your behalf. He's talking in context about es non zona, where there's a fascinating debate. The rule is that es non zona, obviously znus in general is prohibited. Let's start from that as our starting point. Thank you. Znus is prohibited. Number one. Number two, in the event that somebody pays a zona, that payment is called a gift given to a zona. Esnan, like matana. Esnan zona. Not matana, though, to suggest that she doesn't deserve what she's receiving. It is payment for her services. And therefore, there are certain halachos that are related to an esnan zona, such as you can't bring it as a karban. In the event that he gives her an animal as the gift, you don't use that animal as a karban. There's discussion, what if he gives her money and she uses the money to buy something? Not the point right now. The point is this. What if he gives her something, but she wasn't actually deserving of it? What if the contract didn't have to be fulfilled? Then the item is not esnan zona. It's just a present he chose to give her. So the question becomes the following scenario. Gross, but nonetheless. There's an incestuous relationship that is a znus relationship. The man is going to be executed for this relationship. Does he have an obligation to pay her? Or do we say, kim lebe derabamine? He's already getting killed for the relationship. He should have no further obligation to pay her. Is that true? And therefore, whatever he does give her does not have the halachic status of an esnan zona. A little esoteric, but nonetheless, that's the question. So the says machlokas rishonim regarding this case. And Rav Shechter writes the following in source Chav Beis. Od yesh lafarish ba'ofen acher depligi, I added in the bracketed words, binyan chiyuv l'shalem esnan zona le'erva, b'nogeya la'hagdaras chiyuv tashlum d'schiris pa'olam. He says the machlokas about the status of this esnan zona and whether it's vulnerable to the claim of kim lebe derabamine is fundamentally a debate about paying your workers. Usvir lehu de'ena hischaibuz midaz. Their view is that it's not I personally obligated myself to pay her. The Torah requires that you pay your workers. When you pay your worker, you're effectively paying Hashem. That's the idea. Even if no one thought about it that way in their business relationship, and certainly in this one, nonetheless, Hashem is standing on the side of the poel and saying, pay him. Rav Shechter builds this case from a variety of sources. No, I didn't want to bring you the entire article here, but he believes that it's a religious arrangement. He points out, for example, the Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Kuf Aleph Omed Aleph talks about the Yored L'Sdei Chavero. You go into somebody else's field and you improve it on his behalf. He didn't even know you were doing it. The rule is the owner of the field has to pay you. Why? There was no ischaibus midas. He never agreed to anything. It doesn't matter. The Torah says someone works for you, you pay him. Ksuvos, Kuvzayin Amud Beis, says that in the event that somebody pays off your debt on your behalf, you have to pay him. Tosfos says, why? Mitam schirus polalek. That's the way it works. There is an element of ischaibus hatara where the Torah obligates you to pay in circumstances where you didn't even dawn on you'd have to pay somebody something. Or it didn't dawn on you that it was a religious act. Nonetheless, paying your workers is a religious act. It's Hischaivus HaTorah.
Did I hear correctly that the Zona is getting paid religiously? Is that?
That's the statement, yes. I know this sounds weird.
For example, like, it's
I should
like
have paused the recording, but yes.
Crazy.
Very
good.
I don't think
he's
paying Hashem as much as Hashem is
paying
you. That's the phrase I used.
One more creature in that example. If it's an incestuous relationship, wouldn't she be killed too?
So that possibly depends a little bit on some of the circumstances, but yes, the case that he's envisioning, it doesn't matter. Let's say she is.
And you still have to pay her.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Her heirs will get it, that's all. They, So that's the machlokes. That's the machlokes. According to the tzad that says that you do say kim lebe derabamine, we view payment as ischaibus hatara.
You have a Yehuda.
It tells us that really it's like you have to pay, but Torah right.
So again, this is a machlokes we've shown. I mean, there's a Meiri, there's a lot to talk about.
Yehuda paid.
So that's in terms of your question, of what does the Torah view as the definition of a poel employer relationship? If it's not a relationship of abdus, the answer is it seems to be number one that it is a form of partnership that's going on, with added responsibilities potentially for the employer depending on the particular circumstances, like he's a shomer if you're working on his property. But the obligation to pay the worker may be not only because you agreed to do so, and that's your investment in the partnership, but also because Hashem commands you to do so because he has done something that benefits you. This may be an added responsibility. Rosh Hashanah also connects it to the Gemara in the beginning of our Perek, but that Gemara always gives me a headache, and I didn't want to go through it here. The question of where the boss told the contractor, I want you to hire workers for me, and then he lied to the employees and gave them another number, and you pay them the going rate, you pay them what they were promised. So Rosh Hashanah ties it into that whole sugya as well. But that's your second shita fundamentally is, Poel is not an Eved, and that's why he's able to leave midday. Natan, are you raising your hand or are you stretching? Okay. Let's look at the third shita. The third shita in this, so you now go back on the sheet to source Yud, is a Poel is like an Eved, and we don't want him to be an Eved, and therefore we allow him to leave at midday. This will agree with what we just said about the definition of the Poel employer relationship. Fundamentally, it's not an Eved relationship, it's something else. The Maharam Rutenberg says this. If you take a look at Source Yud, we've already seen bits and pieces of this Maharam Rutenberg. The Ein Lahakshos, the Ein Lahakshos Imken, Kol Poel Amaskir Atzmo Over Bekili Bnei Yisrael Avodim, Velo Avodim Lavodim. Don't say that by taking a job, you are violating the prohibition against becoming an Eved. Lo Kasha, that's not a problem. De La Olam Eino Over Ela Kishemocher Atzmo Ke Eved Sheino Yotze Ela Beshesh. He says that's no problem. Why? Because it's only if you're only able to leave after 6 years. You create those kinds of working conditions. But if he can leave less than that, Sakhir Mikri, Eved Lo Mikri, he's called a Sakhir, not an Eved. Remember, last week we had a discussion about whether Sakhir equals Eved or doesn't equal Eved. He's clearly taking the view that Sakhir does not equal Eved. But he's saying a Poel is okay unless he creates Eved-like conditions. So that's what we want to avoid. We want to avoid Eved style, to use the language of the delis. That's the idea. There's kosher and there's kosher style. There's Eved and there's Eved style. We want to avoid Eved style. Why don't we want him to be an Eved? So that's a little complicated. The easy answer is the Tosos in Bava Metzia, which we have already noted and we've discussed before, and we saw it in Source Hey, who says, Kili b'nei Yisrael abahim, right? The Laharos Nasan adds, if you look at Source Yid Aleph, this is of Nasan Kishtenu, I mentioned earlier, he adds, the Gemara in Kiddushin Chav Beis Amid Beis, Manishtana Ozen Mikol Evarim Shebeguf, why is it that the Eved who renews his contract is going to have his ear pierced? What? Sorry? Yeah. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Od Hashama Koli Al Arsina B'Shal Shamati, Kli B'nei Yisrael Avadim V'lo Avadim L'Avadim. You heard me say, you're supposed to be my Avadim. Yes, this Pasuk is not actually said at Matan Torah. Understood. Nonetheless, let the Gemara go with it. V'alach Zevakana Adon La'atzmo. He got an Adon for himself. He got a master for himself. Yiratzah. He has to have his ear pierced. That's the... So the issue is, he has made himself into being an Eved. I'm going to come back to this Gemara. We're not done with this Gemara. This is also Rabbi Yochanan in the Yerushalmi, as explained by the Ridbaz. We saw it last week. I brought it again on the source sheets this week, but we saw this already last week when Rabbi Yochanan took the position in source Yud Beis that Eved Ivri Himas Nisan, and we said Rabbi Yochanan's position is that there is an Isser in taking such a... both Rav and Rabbi Yochanan took the position that there is such an Isser. The only question is it on the Poel or is it on the Eved or is it on the Mishabed? But they said there is indeed an Isser in this. Because of this, if you take a look at Source Yud Daled, the Shulchan Aruch rules regarding a debtor. Ein kofen osa lahaskir atzmo. We don't force a debtor to get a job. V'lo la'asos shum malacha, not to do any malacha, k'day lefroa, to be able to pay his debts. Even even though the Gemara says we force a debtor to pay his debts, if he's out of money, we don't force him to get a job in order to be able to do so. The that halacha in the Shulchan Aruch is explained by the Sma, which I didn't actually bring, but it's Tzadi Zayin Chavtes, that it is based on Ki Li. Ha. What about those who don't think that there is such an Isser? What about our first two Shittos? So, as noted in the Haros Nasan in Source Tes Bav, they'll tell you this Gemara is Agadata. Don't worry about it. It's Agadata. HaRambam Shohevi Yisru Zes, Svirulei, Dein Zeh Lederach Drasha, Dein Lemeidin Halacha Me Agada. That's the idea of Rav Nasan Gishtetner. But the Rambam has a different source. If you take a look at Source Tes Zayin, the Rambam talks about the Eved who sells himself. Mocher Atzmo Ketzad. How does an Eved sell himself? Ze Yisrael Shehani Bioser. It's a Yisrael who became unusually impoverished. Nasno Torah Rishus Limkoris Atzmo. The Torah says he can sell himself. Shnerek Yamucha Chicha Imach Vinim Karloch. When he becomes indigent with you and he is sold to you. Ve'eno Rashai Limkoris Atzmo Latzniyaz Damav. He's not allowed to sell himself and just hide the assets that he has. Olignos Bem Schora, or say, I'm going to invest them in merchandise, Kalim, Litnum, Balchov, whatever it is. Elim came Tzarech La Ochlan Bilvad. Has to be that he needs money in order to be able to eat. We're going to talk about this, God willing, next week. Vein Adam Rashe Limkoris Atmo Adshali Yishore Lo Klum Bafilu Ksus Lo Tishore Lo. Vial Kachim Koris Atmo. You're not allowed to sell yourself until you are out of everything. So writes the Rambam. So the Laharos Nasan, at the end of the source in Tezvav, but at a greater length than his Tshuva in general, says that the Rambam believes that this is actually an Isser learned from Ki Yamuch. That Ki Yamuch is the source for the Isser of becoming an Eved. When you are Mach, not you, when somebody is Mach, they are able to become an Eved, and if they are not Mach, then they're not allowed to become an Eved. Completely different read of what's going on. How does, and his basic point is, the Rambam didn't bring Keeley. Right? The Rambam does not mention the Pasuk. Where does the Rambam mention the Pasuk? In Source Yud Zayin. If the worker starts working and then leaves, he can do that even midday. Why? Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim. The Rambam views Kili, this is Rav Gishtetner's view, he says the Rambam views Kili as a benefit for workers, enabling them to leave if they choose. But, and that would be your Masna Mashikasa B'Torah. Not an Isser against working without a right to leave. You follow? It enables them to leave, but it's not the Isser against working without the right to leave. That's the way that he reads it. There's a third view, which is the Ktos in Yuches, which I wish he would have written more about. He says, Amna benishbat sarach l'kayim shvuaso. He says, if a person swears that he is going to be a worker and that he's not going to leave, he has to fulfill the shvua. Da adam aser lahaskir atzma b'yorsim yishalosh eino ela midirabanan. He says it's only a derabanan. This whole thing of don't take such a position. But derabanan, lavi mushva v'omim mehar sinai. And therefore the principle of you already took a shavua not to do this doesn't apply. I wish he would have written more about who made this derabanan and when. What exactly is the character of this derabanan? I have no idea. But the Ksos says, indeed, that the whole thing is a derabanan. And then you have sources that indicate that there's no issur at all. You have sources that indicate there's no Isser at all. There's a Tosfos in Gin that indicates there's no Isser at all. Take a look, please. It's Source Yotes. This is a classic Tosfos dealing with the issue of Chetz Yoeved, Chetz Yoben Chorin. Right? You had somebody who was owned by two masters, right? And one of them freed his half, and now he is stuck. He can't marry a Shifcha. He can't marry a free woman. What's he supposed to do? We let him free the other half. Tosfos says, wait a minute, Vim Tomer, you might ask, V'yimkar atzmo be'ebed ivri. Why doesn't he sell himself as an ebed ivri? Debed ivri shari b'shivcha, he's allowed to marry a shivcha. Ba'filu ein lo isha u'banim. Ha'igal mandamar d'rabba moser lo shivcha k'nanis. Even if he's currently single, says machlokes, as to whether you can give him a shivcha or not, but there is such a view. No one's mentioning this. V'yesh lomar d'amar be'ezu nesha, geru m'shuchar einim karen be'ebed ivri, mishum d'ba'inan v'shavol mishpachto. And he says, you know why? Because it's a technical problem. problem. The technical problem is that he's also a meshuchrar. Half of him has currently been freed, and once you've been freed, you may not be sold as an Eved Ivri. That's really interesting. Why did you give the answer that you can't have him sell himself because of Keli? You're telling me don't tell him to sell his other half because it won't work technically. It's violation of an Isser. Apparently that's not an issue. Not that.
Isn't it just the fact that the Torah allows the Mocher Atzma? Doesn't that just go against the whole Keli? You can't sell yourself?
No, because we'll say that's only a function of those circumstances, the Kiyumbuch circumstances.
Okay.
Yeah. You have to be in a position in which it is justified. Which is the Rambam.
Which is stronger, that something can't exist or that's also?
Which is stronger?
Which, in other words, if you say that this is just a non-possibility.
In other words, you're saying that Tosus believes it is Usur, but he'd rather say it doesn't work anyway.
It can't work.
Maybe. I hear you. I'm going to ask you not to. Just because you're going to complain, because I'm going to take 3 weeks and I'm still going to have more stuff, because you interrupted me. Or maybe that's a strategy. I don't know. Who is liable for this Isser, whatever this Isser is? Sir Aaron Lichtenstein. Sorry? But the Rav Aaron Lichtenstein in a more agadic essay, but has the line in source Chaf, Avadayim v'lo avadim la'adam acher, ein rishus la'adam l'shabed et zulato. He presented that the problem is with the boss. In the event that you take a position as an Eved, the boss is the one who's in violation. Whereas, Tosfos that we saw in Bav Metzia Daf Yud seem to say no, the Isser is with the Eved, right? Go back to the language that he used. He said, Mutter Adam Lahaskir Atzmo, right? Indicating that it was about himself. It's about the Eved. Whereas Rav, that we saw in the Yerushalmi, according to the Ritbaz, said it's actually both of them who are in violation. But within this view, however you slice it, that there is in fact such an Isser, the Poel doesn't have the option of forgiving his right to leave at midday. And that's the position taken by the Shach. The Shach says in... No, why haven't I beat? Why did I not bring... Oh, because I brought the Shach earlier. The Shach was in Source Ches. He said, you do not have the ability to forgive it. And the Mabit says it as well. The Mabit, which I brought you here in Source Chaf Aleph, who is one of those who takes the Ritvaz, talking about a kinyan with the intent of binding you, but he quotes you the Rivash. The Rivash said that you're not able to forgive that, right? And then he says, if the Rivash had seen the Ritva, maybe he wouldn't have disagreed with the Ritva. But the conclusion, in any case, is that. The many poskim, including the Shach, including the Rivash, say, no, you're not allowed to give up that right. Having said all of this, we've now presented three different views, right? One view, he is an Eved, and therefore he can leave. Second view, he is not an Eved, and therefore he can leave. Third view, he is close to an Eved, and therefore we make sure that he can leave, so he avoids becoming an Eved because of Kiyamuch, or because of Kili, or because of a Derabanan, whatever it is. The truth of the matter is that even though we spent some time showing that a Poel can't really be equated with an Eved, there are some ways in which the relationship is connected. So, for example, and this goes back to something that I mentioned before, if you take a look at Source Chaf Gimel, this is the case of the Mechila, the Mordechai. Nishal Rabbeinu Meir, Amalamej Yisrael Lilmod, V'amalei Balabayas Leichmi Madi Eini Chavetz Bach. The Malamej starts teaching. They always go back and forth, the Lilmod and the Lamed, but the assumption is he's a Malamed, it means he's teaching something. But he starts his service, and the Balabayas says to him, go away, I don't want you anymore. V'nisrata Malamed, the Malamed says, fine. V'shu Chazer B'Balabayas, so it's Lagvo. And then the boss says, no, I want to keep you. He says, no, you forgave me. It's over. And again, you see a little mode used the way we would think of lalamed. Don't get hung up on it. And his answer was, he says, I think mechila is insufficient. V'rayim v'rakama de kiddushin deparka be'eved ivri v'lemele babetre zilu mashani eved ivri gufo kanui. He says, the case of an eved saying go away is insufficient because gufo kanui. Alma de lo zachi nafshe b'amir v'alma. An eved does not acquire himself just by a statement of the adon. Hu adim benidon zed de medaminon poel eved ivri v'rakama debav mitzia. He says, we compare poel and eved ivri just like the eved ivri doesn't stop being an eved ivri because the master says go away. So too, the poel does not stop being a poel for him. It doesn't end the relationship just because you told him, go away. So we do have that connection. Another case in which we connect Poel and Eved Ivri is the law of Onah. This is a much longer discussion. Those who were here when we did Onah a couple of years ago remember that I gave a nice long shiur on this topic. This is not going to be that shiur. But in Chav Dalet, we're told that there are certain categories of relationship, business relationships, in which Onah does not apply. Remember what Onah is. Onah fundamentally means abuse, use of one's power against somebody else. And in Onah's Mammon, what we're talking about is where you charge somebody more than what something is worth by a certain margin, or you pay less than what something is worth, again, by a certain margin. And the Mishnah says, Onah does not apply to Avadim. It also doesn't apply to Karkaos. And it says, Eved doesn't have it because the Eved and the Karka relationships are connected in Halacha. We say that many of the rules that apply regarding land also apply regarding Avadim. So look at the Rambam when he records this Halacha regarding Onah in Source Chaf Hei. He says, "Asocher es hapoel lasos imo bein bekarka bein mitaltlin ein lo honaya." Onah does not apply if you hire somebody to work with you, whether he's working for you on land or move by him, doesn't matter. Mivneishu kikona oso lizman, because it's like you are requiring him for a period of time. Va'avadim ein bem onaya, and there's no onah for an eved. Mind you, that's the Rambam's Shita. It happens to be brought in the Shulchan Aruch. There are other views. The view of the Rambam, the Rashba, the Ritva, is that hiring a worker is not the same thing as a sale, and therefore Onah doesn't apply. And the view of the Rashbam is that Onah doesn't apply because workers don't have the same type of a price fix. Meaning, with goods, there's a certain price based on what it costs to manufacture it, what it costs to transport it, there's a certain price. Workers will work based on the availability of work. Whatever the market will bear is what they're going to take, and that's what, and that fluctuates all the time. It's not the same thing as selling an item for its worth. So there are different shitos, but within the Rambam, we are equating, or linking at any rate, Eved and Poel in terms of the law of Onah. That's the idea. Clear? Okay. I'm rushing a little bit. You can tell, but I hope we're still clear. I wanted to start on a question. So I'm going to express the question, but we're going to have to hold the answer, I think, for next time. But within view number three, okay, we now have our three views. We've articulated our three views. We've noted that there are ways in which we equate Poel and Eved for Mechila and for Onah. But within view number three, the Poel is not an Eved, but he's close to an Eved, and we want to avoid making him too much like an Eved. What if a Poel is going to be Choser V'chatzi Hayom, but in a way that makes him look like Hidavka is an Eved? That's our question. Specifically, leaving or threatening to leave in order to get a better salary, because work has gone up in value, he can get a better price for his work now. But that just means he's leaving in order to work. So he's not leaving as a demonstration of liberation and freedom, or just leaving to take a different job. If I take view number one, there's no issue. Right? Poel equals Eved, and that's fine. Let him, his power to leave isn't a function of getting out of slavery. And in any event that you take view number two, there's also no issue. Because leaving in order to work for someone else doesn't convert him into an Eved. Leaving for better wages does not undermine his non-Eved status. But within view number three, that's the question. We want to avoid activities that make him more like an Eved. That's why we let him break his agreement and leave. But now, he's just going to somebody else. Now, you will argue, free market is exactly what's going on here. This is a demonstration of his freedom. People who are free do this all the time. Why is that a problem? And indeed, we're going to see that position. But we're going to see the argument from some, and it makes it into the Ramah, that in fact you may not be allowed to leave to get a better arrangement somewhere else. So we'll have to come back to that, God willing, next week. And then in addition to that, I want to talk about Poel Kablan, and I want to talk about where is it mutter to become an Eved. Shkaya.